Luke chapter 14, I'm going to start reading in verse 12. Jesus is at a feast, he's at a banquet. And Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who will eat at the feast in the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to the master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you ordered has been done, but there is still room.' Then the master told his servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them to come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" It's a sad story there at the end. I've been trying to think all week. That's going to be our text that Carl and I will be working off of as we reflected on the year of courageous hospitality. And I've been trying to think all week of a good story about a time when I did something expecting something in return. But all my stories involved people in this room. And that wouldn't be right to use this platform as... No, I'm totally kidding. But if your conscience is telling you something, you should listen to that. It's totally a joke. But here are my 3 points. And I will return to these verses here in a second. But here are my 3 points as I reflected on a year of courageous hospitality. Point number one, spiritual formation takes practice. The gospel, and this is really important, the gospel is opposed to earning, but it is not opposed to effort. This year, we focused on one area of spiritual formation, practicing hospitality, and I think that idea of taking a year to focus on one thing is a really good thing to do as a body. Who here has played golf before? Played golf? Seen golf? Who here has played golf with me before? I don't play golf. There was a time when I did play golf. A season, actually. I was a little obsessed with it, and I played a lot of golf. And then I realized that it wasn't good for me. It involved time and money, things I don't have a ton of. It also wasn't good for my blood pressure. And I felt like I came to this fork in the road, and I had to choose between golf or better eating habits. And I really like ice cream. And I want to see my grandchildren and eat chicken wings with them. And so I gave up golf. But I can remember during that season, I took a golf lesson. And it changed everything. I don't know if you've ever had a golf lesson. But here's the thing about golf, is that if you just pick up the club and start to swing, you don't really know how to do it. But when you're with a professional, when you're with someone who knows how to, they show you how to hold the club and it just doesn't feel right. And then they show you how to swing the club and the swing just feels really awkward. But as you do it and you practice over and over again, that awkward swing feels more natural. It almost becomes second nature. When you pick up the club, you hold it correctly, and you swing the club correctly. I think that's what happens in our life of spiritual formation and discipleship. Jesus is calling us to new ways of living. It feels very awkward at first to begin to think outside of yourself, to begin to love your neighbor, to begin to bless your enemies. These are things that don't come naturally. It's not our nature. But as we practice them, as we do little ways of practicing it here and there, as we try to put this into practice, the life of following Jesus, I think Jesus wants it to become second nature for us. He wants it to be the way we naturally live. And it takes practice. And this year was about practicing just one area, hospitality. In fact, in Romans chapter 12, which is one of the verses, one of the parts of scripture that I read when we kicked off the year of courageous hospitality, Paul at the beginning, if you remember, in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, he says that we're not to conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. So spiritual formation for us will be counterintuitive. There are patterns of this world. There are patterns of this way of living. It's not necessarily hospitable. It doesn't come natural to us to be people of hospitality. But we're to be transformed. We're engaged in a transformational process. We're being changed. And it starts with this renewal of our mind to think differently. And then here's the great thing about Romans chapter 12. Paul starts with that verse, do not conform to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then he goes on to say, as you begin this process of transformation and mind renewal, there's this way that Christians should live. And it's a really good list of all kinds of things that we should be thinking about now that we're in Christ. And then he uses this phrase in Romans 12, 13. He says, practice hospitality. There's something about hospitality that we have to practice. A life focused on God, a gospel-centered life, will feel awkward at first. But it takes practice. And Paul just happens to point out hospitality is one of those areas that the people of faith, the body of Christ, should put into practice. Now, I got to tell you, I had high hopes for my year of courageous hospitality. I had all of these ideas that I thought I was going to do, and I maybe did half of them. It probably wasn't even half of them. I thought about things I was going to do for our neighborhood. I thought about things I was going to do in my personal life. But I loved having it in front of me each day, each week, on Sundays, to just begin to think differently about hospitality, to have it in front of me as I approached each day. And then I came across this beautiful verse in 1 Peter. In 1 Peter 4, Peter now is talking about what it'll look like when the kingdom of God comes, people are in Christ, and they're living in community together. And he has this to say in verse 8. He says, above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. As I reflect on my year, as I tried to put these things in practice, because they don't come naturally to me, I think I grumble less. I can say that. I think I grumble less around ideas of hospitality. I don't know what your experience was. Maybe for some of us, we've been practicing hospitality for a long time, and these things are just natural things. Maybe you were even a little uneasy putting a key on the door to recognize that, and I get it. But for some of us, I just needed to have it in front of me, to just try little ways. And I think after a year, I can say I'm grumbling a little less about this call that I think God places on all of our lives. That's point one. Spiritual formation takes practice. Point two and three are much shorter, in case you're concerned. Point two is this. My favorite thing about this year of courageous hospitality was our Sunday school class on sexuality. Each week, people We got together, if you weren't here, we got together to explore God's understanding, God's intentions, God's design for sexuality. It wasn't an easy 12 weeks, but as a congregation, we committed to having a difficult conversation around this subject. And every week, it took courageous hospitality for us to go in that gym, for us to hear stories when people were vulnerable. I think oftentimes we think of hospitality of things that we do to people to make them feel included, and that's certainly it. But there's an aspect of hospitality that is just opening up our own lives, opening up our own hearts, being open and honest and vulnerable and real about the lives that we live. And when we do that, and people did that each week, and they poured out their hearts, and it took courage. And then to watch the congregation, watch us as the body, receive that and respond to that with hospitality back to them, that was really encouraging to me. That was those 12 weeks, I was really proud to be a part of this congregation. And so as we think about practicing hospitality as we go forward, yes, it probably will be in things that we do, but it probably starts with us just being open and vulnerable and opening our lives and opening ourselves to each other. And we practiced it during that week, or during the 12 weeks in sexuality, and I hope it continues as we go on. So that's point two. Point one, spiritual formation takes practice. Point two, that Sunday school class on sexuality was my favorite example for the year. And then point three would be this. In Luke chapter 12, starting in 15, there's a story told by the master. Remember, he's going to have this banquet, and he's inviting everybody to come in. And people don't come. They refuse him. They say no. They make all kinds of excuses. And then the master says, all right, that's fine. Go find people and bring them in. And he talks about those people as poor, crippled, lame. Those are the people he's going to bring in to this banquet. And sometimes I think we can hear those verses. We can hear Luke 12 and we can say to ourselves, that should be us. We should be going and doing things for other people. We should be having parties and feasts for people that are broken, for people that are crippled, for people that are lame, for people that are poor. And that's probably true. But in that story is actually about us. This was a shift for me, a paradigm shift for the way I understand hospitality. Jesus, we are here as the body of Christ in the United States as followers of Jesus because we are the crippled and the broken and the poor and the lame. We are the ones, when it was refused, that God called together. And so for us to practice hospitality, it's not what we can go do for people, although we probably should. It's more about understanding our own need to be invited, to see our own lives as broken and frail, and to just be, to live a life of gratitude because of the hospitality that was shown to us in Christ. And then we don't have to go show hospitality to others, but we get to show hospitality to the people around us as our hearts are changed because we received the greatest gift and the greatest hospitality from Jesus as he invited us in. Thank you.